Before I share, let's take a moment to pray. God, I thank you so much for everyone who is here. They are so precious in your sight. I pray that what I share would lead them closer to Christ, that, God, your glory would shine more brightly in their life. Lord, that you would provide them hope, that you would provide them strength for the journey that is required for them in this coming new year. Lord God, would you renew all of our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this boldly because we can come before your throne of grace with confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to be talking a little more softly today, so I don't know if you want to turn the mic up a little bit, but just a little qualifier. For half of this week, I've been very ill. I've been fighting like a fever, and I thought I was actually at a flu or something, but I think it's more like a stomach virus thing. So if I just kind of stop, have to go to the bathroom, or, you know, I just fall down, just proceed, you know. Eric's going to come up. He's going to sing some songs. What pastors often do when there's an awkward pause, we pray. So someone just start praying, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Okay. Good. We're all family, so we should just know these things. I was thinking Roy has all these great sermons related to the gastrointestinal process. I thought this is a great opportunity for him to preach today. But I am not quite sure what I'm going through yet, so I can't do it. Anyways, we'll leave that for the experts. So it feels like it's been forever, but I guess this is the first quote-unquote normal service we've had in a while. The English, just the English congregation. And in many ways, it feels like for me, New Year's, this is like a New Year's service in a way. And I was thinking about what happens when we start the New Year. And I think about the New Year as a time where many people make resolutions and promises. Is anyone here one of those people who, like, you start the New Year, you make promises, resolutions? Okay, only one person. So we know what kind of congregation we've got. Very fear of commitment, I guess. Or maybe you have made some and you don't want to admit it in public, which is totally understandable. I was wondering, what are some of the resolutions that some of us might have made this year? What are some of the resolutions that people make? I tried to think of a list, and I thought a lot of them actually relate to healthy living. A lot of people make promises about food, about exercise, you know, how often will they be eating foods, what kind of foods and stuff. The other ones that I was thinking of were changes in behavior, so kind of addressing certain habits we have, certain attitudes we have, certain relationships perhaps that we'd like to improve or do away with or renew, you know, whatever that might be. And the other one I was thinking about was goals. Many of us are thinking about, well, 2012, what do I want to set out as what I want to accomplish, what plans do I have? And as I was going through all of this and I was thinking about, you know, New Year's and resolutions and such, I was thinking, if there is one resolution that I want to encourage everyone to consider seriously, today I want us to consider very seriously renewing our life in the Spirit. And so when I say that, it seems like this whole kind of concept of renewing our life in the Spirit is something that a lot of folks misunderstand. And so I wanted to just go to Galatians and kind of explore this a bit more and talk about what does that mean. And I don't know what kind of tradition of church you're from or background. Some people, when they look at the Holy Spirit, they see the Spirit as sort of this mysterious kind of you know, mist that just goes throughout and we just kind of try and call it in and do stuff for us. There's other places where, you know, it sounds like the Holy Spirit seems to be this energy or this power and we keep, you know, it's like charging into a wall outlet or something, like, you know, we want things from the Spirit and it just like zaps us with something. And in my discipleship group, the next series I'm going to be doing is about the Holy Spirit and the church. And I've discovered the Holy Spirit is completely essential. It is unavoidable to how we live as Christians, but it's amazing how little we talk about it. And when we do talk about it, we talk about it in just a very specific context, so as to make the Holy Spirit kind of only relatable to us in certain areas of our life. But I want to say that the Spirit is essential to every single aspect of your life. The Holy Spirit, in fact, you cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Because you see, when Christ came into the world, he declared to his disciples, he was saying, look, I'm going back to my Father. And then all the disciples started panicking. They're like, Jesus, you can't leave. Where are you going? And he says, look, folks, I know you're worried, but here's the good news. I'm going to be sending the Comforter to be with you. Okay? You know, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the person, was a wonderful, you know, amazing, powerful person. But you know, the amazing thing about the Spirit is that the Spirit lives in all of us, is here for every one of us. And when Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to us, he ensured us that we would be able and equipped to live the Christian life which he called us to. You know, so often we go through all these resolutions, we make all of these promises, we make all of these commitments, and we kind of just rely on our power. And what often happens is we come across this wall eventually where we realize the Christian life is very difficult. And, you know, you didn't have to go very far. Just even Jesus admitted, look, the fact is, if you guys are going to be serving me, no servant is greater than their master. You know, what I went through, as you can see, was not a very easy thing. You know, same as you're going to go through the similar things. In fact, some of the inspiring words he said before he left was, hey, look, in this world, you're going to have many troubles. Thanks, Jesus. That's very encouraging. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, there is no promise in Christianity that Christianity is easy. But the good news is we are given the strength and the ability and the resources to live this life. God has gladly sent the Holy Spirit to us as not just as this kind of like mystic energy, but as the person, the presence of God. God with us, to walk with us at every stage. You know, some of you, I don't know what 2011 was like, but were there stages where you're like, I cannot do this. I cannot walk two steps more. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit is for. Not my strength, not my ability, not my power, but the power of God's grace through the Holy Spirit. Are there those moments where you are just so overjoyed and so filled? What gives you this joy? What gives you this sign of God's grace? It is the Holy Spirit again. Every season, the Holy Spirit wants to walk with you, not just in your troubled times. Every season. You know, so many Christians just kind of think that, you know, God has wound us up and fired us up. When we meet God, we're just so fired up. And then now you're on your own. Okay, I'll see you at the finish line, says Jesus. And then we just got to figure out how to work out the mess that is Christian living. And then we struggle. It's so difficult. And we get to that finish line. Oh, Jesus, I think I made it. I don't know. And Jesus is looking at me at the whole time. He's thinking, why didn't you ask me for help? I'm walking with you the whole time. Why are you acting like I'm not there? The whole ministry of the Holy Spirit is that you become, that the Holy Spirit is committed to you being the Christian in the full intention that God has for you. And so what I want to say for 2012 is let us renew our commitment to live our life in the Spirit. Let us renew an awareness that the Holy Spirit is here with us, is here for us, is here to empower us, is here to help us. You know, it's very interesting that I'm preaching this message. I had planned it a while back, and this week I felt fine. You know, I don't know if many people know, but I have this kind of long process I do when I'm preaching sermons. It's a week-long process. I usually start, you know, thinking about it around Tuesday, and I work on it a bit more Wednesday and Thursday. So I have, like, you know, something I do every day, and so I try and finish it up by about Friday. Saturday, I can just kind of mull over it. Sunday, last-minute thoughts, and I'm ready to go. You know, and you get into this kind of mode that, hey, this is what I do, and then God just throws you this curveball. So, like, I got really sick in the middle of the week, and I'm like, oh, my process is all wrong. It's Wednesday. I'm supposed to be at this part in the sermon process, and I wasn't. And I remember even, I haven't been able to sleep well the past several days, And I remember it was like 3 or 4 in the morning today. I was just kind of lying awake thinking, wow, this message looks rough. And I remember just talking to God about it. And I was thinking, you know, Sam, you need to learn that you have to lean on me. I mean, it's not like these messages are powerful because you put time into it. It's not that I have wisdom to offer. I mean, there's people here who are much older and wiser than I in this room. It really just comes down to this, is that the Holy Spirit is our strength and our power to do all the things that God asks of us. You know, the fact that I'm even a pastor today is just, I don't know, to some of my friends, kind of like inconceivable, almost like humorous that I'm a pastor. But it's not I'm here because I'm qualified. It's because the Spirit of God has chosen to work through me for this calling. And you know, it's interesting. This is sort of the exact struggle that the Galatians were going through. You see, what was happening was that the Galatians were very eager Christians. They heard the gospel from Paul, and they received it with great zeal, with great excitement. But basically what happened, somewhere along the way, some folks kind of came into the community and started teaching them, like, look, yeah, salvation is grace, it's true, but, you know, you got to live like a holy person too, okay? I mean, this is what Christianity is about. You got to do stuff. And so at that point, you know, there was a highly, like, Jewish community amongst the Galatians. And so they began to impose, like, these old Jewish laws, saying, like, you know what? The law came from us originally. This is how you guys should be living. If you want to really be honoring God, you got to take up these laws and these rules and these requirements. And, you know, it sounds very appealing, doesn't it? You know, have you ever been to, like, some Christians? Have you ever met some Christians? And their life of discipline is just very appealing when you see just how disciplined and how intentional they are about everything, you know? You sort of admire them for their commitment. And even Peter, we read in Galatians, got kind of caught up in this. You know, when the Gentiles, who had none of this background in the law, you know, he started preaching to them. But when the Jews started coming in, he started feeling a little embarrassed about the Gentiles who didn't know about all these holy rules. And so he started kind of associating with the Jews more, because it seemed easier, you know? It seemed more respectable. And then you don't have to go too far to see that this kind of happens in our own life too, is that we start kind of figuring out ways to make our Christianity more credible. We start kind of adding our own little rules and regulations. You know, the big controversy at that time was circumcision. You know, if you don't know what that is, mom and dads, you can explain it to your kids. Thank me later. Okay. But, you know, this law, as some of you might know, is very bizarre, very painful. I have to admit, if God asked me to do this, I would ask for proper identification before I go ahead with this. You know, it was a very strange thing. But it was such, you know, a powerful, like, act of commitment to show that, you know, I'm set apart for God. And sometimes we get kind of caught up in relying on these little powerful acts of commitment. And when we start doing that, we stop relying on the power of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul rebukes them and says, you guys started running well. Did you think that God moves among you because of your qualifications? Do you think he does miracles among you because of what you obey? Or is it, in fact, because of you believe and you hear? Or is it, in fact, by faith, by God's promises, not by your own strength, but by God's strength, that God moves? And see, this is very tricky. You know, like, when we live in that world of resolutions and commitments and promises and our own strength, there's so many times that we can come to church kind of thinking, like, I'm going to serve Jesus better. I'm going to do better things through kind of what I want to do on my own. But the more important commitment is, rather than kind of relying on our own promises and our own abilities and our own resources, the real challenge is renewing our commitment to live our life in the Holy Spirit. And so I hope I'm kind of painting this picture. You know, especially, I was just thinking about, I was actually reading the news in L.A., Koreatown, just this week. There's this news article. It's very short, but it just really disturbed me about, I guess there was this news anchor. And she was kind of popular in the Korean news company, news station at in Koreatown, and really kind of became a local figurehead. And what happened was that, I mean, she was very educated. She was very articulate. You know, she was a very beautiful woman. You know, a lot of people were very envious of who she was. But the thing was, this week, it was reported that she was found in her apartment dead. She had committed suicide. And this article had gone on to talk about how, you know, there's this common thing in a lot of Asian communities where we don't want to talk about how we don't have it all together, where we might have, like, mental illnesses. We might actually be struggling with something at home or in families. And so we just all suffer inside quietly because we don't want to get our public laundry out there. And so we just kind of do it on our own. And what we find out, if you keep living like that, doing it on your own, not seeking help, terrible things happen. And I was just thinking about how often we do that in our Christian lives, too, is that we just kind of, you know, from the outside, we might look like, oh, yeah, we're completely all together. We're like healthy Christians. But we don't want to ask for help. We don't want to ask for strength. Because we want to show, like, hey, I can do this on my own. And if we continue to work that way, we won't ever understand what does it mean to renew our life in the Spirit. Because renewing your life in the Spirit means an intentional commitment to step away from my strength, my power, and to seek God's power and God's grace. And so at this point, some people might be asking, okay, renewing our life in the Spirit, that sounds really good. Well, how do you do it? I just wanted to throw out three things that hopefully are informative and maybe speak to where you are right now in your life. It's not exhaustive, but these were three things that came to mind right now. And the first thing I want to think about was this phrase called choosing spirit over flesh. And basically, when Paul's talking about being led by the Spirit of God in Galatians, he says, look, this is what living by the Spirit is versus living by the flesh. And he sets it up in two categories. If you're living by the flesh, you're trying to do it all on your own, by your own power, okay? Basically, living by the flesh is kind of me first, figure out, you know, how can I do it? It's all about me. What do I benefit from it? It just becomes a very self-absorbed world. And he says, how do you get out of that just endless cycle of self-absorption? He says, you live by the Spirit. When you live by the Spirit, you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. When you live by the flesh, you don't gratify the desires of the Spirit. So basically, every day, we as Christians have this choice. Are you going to live by the Spirit today or by the flesh? Choosing to live by the Spirit means that, you know what, rather than following my own lead, following my own intuition, I wake up today saying, like, God, what is your lead? What are your priorities today? What are the things that you care about today? What are the things that move your heart today? And so that's the first thing I want to talk about, choosing spirit over flesh. The second thing was choosing to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And if you look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 25, it talks about what are the fruits of the Spirit. And you can look at that in your Bible to study later. And Paul talks about it, and he says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all these wonderful things that seem to, like, arise when you're close to the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so the other way that we can live in the Spirit is we kind of examine what is the stuff that's coming out of our life right now. You know, for 2012, as we begin, maybe ask yourself, like, what are the things I've been, like, producing in the past year? What kind of attitudes I've been producing? What kind of emotions? What kind of feelings? Do they sound like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? You see, God doesn't want us to be like these rule makers, you know, like with these heavy resolutions and these heavy burdens. He wants us to be people who are free. Against the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law. He wants us to be free to produce these things of God's Spirit. How do the fruits of the Spirit show in my life? How are ways that I can show more of the Spirit's fruits in my life? You know, it's amazing how sometimes we can do things that look very holy, but there's not a lot of fruit of the Spirit in it. I had shared this in the cell group I visited on Tuesday, the Moco cell. I went to this one church once when I was younger, I was in my late teens, and I still haven't forgotten to this day. I didn't really know what was going on, but I guess my dad had told me that it was a very, very good Bible study on love, okay? And so we're all in around this circle, and everyone's talking. It's all in Korean. That's why I was kind of I couldn't really follow everything. And so anyways, the Bible study's over. The pastor has just finished praying, and something what pastors do is sometimes they like to, you know, like, I don't know if it's to be more holy or something, but they keep praying, you know. Their eyes are closed and look very solemn. Even though everyone's finished praying, they always seem to be like the last one praying. So anyways, they close. He's still praying a bit, and then someone at the table just brings up something about an event that happened at church. I couldn't follow because it started getting really scary really fast. This old, nice-looking lady just started shouting and yelling about something that happened at church. And then another person started shouting back, and then there was this basically a full-on, like, fight across the table. And I'm just sitting here as a visitor with my dad, who's also a pastor, and I'm just like, what is going on? You know, and it's too awkward. The room is too small. You can't just like, okay, well, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for having us. We just had to kind of sit there through this whole thing where people are fighting and fighting. And I remember the daughter of that woman who started everything, she started crying because she's so embarrassed by, like, you know, all of this that was going on. And it was just a mess. So basically what happened was my family walked out of there an hour later. And my dad was just saying, you know, I can't believe that happened. You know, that was an amazing Bible study on love. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's like, it's amazing, isn't it, that we can say things are Christian. We can say things are very noble. We can dress them up in church or whatever, but does it display the fruits of the Spirit is really the question we should be asking. Amazing, isn't it? I was in a church in a Bible study, and there was just straight up, like, attacking and shouting, and just no one talked to us. No one greeted me. No one did anything. Like, we just left like nobodies. In the whole time, even though we were newcomers to this. You know, after a Bible study of love for all things. But, you know, I want to say this was a very isolated experience. I've never seen churches do this again. This is more common than you think. We do all kinds of, like, things in the name of God. And then you look at the fruit of it, you're thinking that you can put the title God on it, but I don't see the fruits of the Spirit in this. Don't you dare baptize this with Jesus' name because it doesn't look like Jesus. You know, we can say we're in the Spirit, but, you know, the real test is, like, are we choosing to produce the fruits of the Spirit? And, you know, the challenge for 2012 for us as we continue to go forward is that are we producing the fruits of the Spirit? We can make whatever theme we want. We can declare whatever we want about this church. We can say whatever tenets, we can say whatever doctrines, but are we producing the fruits of the Spirit? This will reveal whether the presence of God is among us or not. So choosing Spirit over flesh, choosing to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and the last, choosing prayer. And I want to really include this one. I know for some folks, prayer is kind of like, man, that's the thing that makes you all sleepy when you close your eyes and you're just like, whoa. You know, you wake up, is it over? Did I miss it? You know? It's amazing, isn't it? Like, this really bad movie is on reruns at 1 in the morning. You watch like 5 episodes in a row, but you just like pray for like 10 seconds, like, wow, I'm sleepy. It's amazing. Like, if Tylenol PM knew about prayer, I mean, they'd be out of business. Choosing prayer. You know, what is prayer? Basically, prayer is an intentional way of pausing, acknowledging our need for God's grace. Acknowledging God's presence in our life. Acknowledging the power of the Spirit of God. Acknowledging our need for grace. Prayer, the very act of prayer is basically saying to God, God, I cannot answer my own prayers, so I'm coming to you because I know you can answer it. You know, I know Pastor Charles has been very nice and he's been very consistent about telling people to come to our prayer meetings and such. And, you know, many people, even though it's been in the bulletin for months and months, I don't know if you've known, but for like half a year, we've actually had a regular weekly Friday prayer meeting at church in the evenings. You know, these are not new things. We've been asking about these things, but it's amazing how few come out. And, you know, I'm not here to guilt trip, okay? That's not my style, all right? But I want to be a little bolder today. You know, if we put so much work into ideas and plans and stuff, but we're still not seeking the need for God's grace to work in those plans, there's an unbalance there. There's an imbalance there. I'm thinking about even my own life, too. It's like, where are these places where I keep trying to do it on my own, where I think I'm answering my own prayers, and I don't really need to pray? And you know, I was wondering, like, maybe, why am I so sick this week? Like, I'm so jealous of Rhea. She's so healthy all the time. And, like, why? You know, like, actually, I've gotten better in a couple of years, right, the past couple of years. But anyway, I'm insecure now. But you know, I feel really grateful for, I guess, this week in a weird way, even though it's been kind of difficult, is that it's really kind of just maybe very desperate for God's grace of healing, you know, for God's just move in my life. And I felt like I haven't really cried out as strongly as I did this week. And I was thinking, like, wow, it's unfortunate that I had to come to this, that I had to be incapacitated to come to this point. But you know, maybe all of us, maybe CCC, all of us needs to be incapacitated a little more so that we realize the power of prayer. You know, the Friday prayer meeting, I know you guys had prayed for me on Friday, and you know, Friday was a real turnaround for me. I got a lot better on that day, and I want to thank you so much for that. When you were praying for me, I really felt those prayers. But you know, it's that act of prayer where we go, you know, more importantly than anything, than any agenda that gets accomplished, we want the agenda of the Spirit of God to be accomplished. And that's what prayer does. It centers us back on the Holy Spirit, the need for the presence and power of the Spirit. How do we renew our commitment to live our life in the Spirit? We choose the Spirit over flesh. We choose to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and we choose prayer. And so, like, the last thing might be, well, when do we do this? I've talked about the hows. Now I just want to end with the when. And I want to say all the time. The problem with whenever I say something that, you know, we should be doing this all the time, it gets difficult because we can start the race with much eagerness. Maybe after this message, you're like, yes, that sounded great. I'm going to go do that for about a week. And then maybe the next week it kind of slows down. We all go through seasons where we slow down in our convictions, where our urgency gets lost, our dedication, you know, gets less intense. An important thing for long-term faithfulness is about renewing the most important things in our life. Last week, if you were here for the service, we took this time to just renew and just read a covenant together, renewing our commitment to Christ. I encourage you, you know, there's going to be times in your life where you slow down. Maybe right now in your life, you just know that not all things are together. That's fine. We all go through those seasons. But you know what? This is a perfect opportunity for you to gather yourself together and recommit your life to God. Recommit yourself to a commitment to the Holy Spirit. You know, this month, what I want to do in the following messages is that I want to focus on important things worth renewing as we start this year. What are the things that we need to renew as we focus on the theme of making Christ known? And I just wanted to leave with this last thought. The last thing I noticed about resolutions is that it's also a time of priorities. People like to say, okay, what's number one priority? What's number two priority? And growing up, I often heard about that acronym. You know, a great priority system is the word joy, Jesus, others, yourself. And I appreciate it. I see the value of that. But there is a problem with that kind of system. If you say, well, Jesus is first and others are second and then yourself is third, you can get kind of fooled into thinking that Jesus is just that number one slot. And then once I take care of number one slot, I have number two slot with just others. Number three becomes this kind of separate box. You see, Jesus is not interested in being number one. Now people are probably thinking, like, what is he talking about? Jesus is interested in being number one, being number two, being number three, number four, number five, being all of the numbers. He wants to be involved in all of it. He wants to be involved when you're interacting with others. He wants to be involved when you're interacting with yourself. Because that is the way the Holy Spirit works. He is not a compartment out there. Let us renew our commitment to letting Jesus Christ be in every aspect of our lives. Let us renew our commitment to live our life in the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.